The Immaculate Conception. What is it? Why does it matter? The Immaculate Conception refers to Mary, not Jesus. The Immaculate Conception is a dogma of the Church declared by Blessed Pope Pius IX in 1854. And it is one of the two times in the Church's history that a Pope has used his authority and office to teach something ex cathedra, that is Latin for from the chair, as in from the chair of Peter. And it means that the teaching is infallible. And that's an important thing to know, because many people think that everything the Pope says is infallible. And that's actually not true. Most of what the Pope says is not infallible, but this is one of those times where it is. But just because the Pope didn't make the Immaculate Conception a dogma until 1854 doesn't mean Catholics didn't already believe it. We can trace that belief a long way back, even though it was debated for a long while. But the point is, Catholics are expected to agree that Mary was conceived without original sin, one of only two people since Adam and Eve. Why does this matter? What does it mean to us in everyday life, and why would the Pope go so far out of his way to make this teaching so very clear? There are many reasons, but I want to draw your attention to two. First, Mary is kept free from sin because of Jesus Christ. By recognizing this special preservation of Mary, we are actually recognizing that Jesus is divine and therefore holy and worthy of our reverence. We keep the Eucharist in the tabernacle, usually made from precious materials and decorated to be a beautiful object. We genuflect to the tabernacle to show it a kind of special reverence. God preserved Mary as the first tabernacle from all sin as a way of expressing how precious his son is, that he would preserve her from sin because she would carry him. Mary, the first tabernacle, the new Ark of the Covenant, the new Eve. Secondly, perhaps more encouraging to us, Mary being preserved from sin is the archetype of our own salvation. Mary is kept free from sin not because she is powerful, but because she is unable to do anything on her own. Mary did not earn the right to be free from sin. It was a gift of God's grace. And here is where we step into a profound mystery of God's grace and providence. How was Mary protected from original sin and all sin? We know that Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, can save anyone from sin. But Mary was saved from sin before Jesus died on the cross. Is Mary the exception? No. Jesus' death on the cross preserved Mary from sin in the same way that it saved anyone from sin. But God is beyond time, and he sees all moments of history in a kind of eternal present. Because Jesus is also God, he could, and in fact, did grant Mary the special grace even before he accomplished our redemption in time. And we can see this in that Mary is hailed as full of grace even at the beginning of the gospel, before Jesus dies on the cross to grant grace and salvation to all. If that is confusing or unclear, that's probably good, because this is a mystery to be embraced, to drop ourselves into. It is not a puzzle to be solved. But here's what is interesting about this mystery. Mary was given this special grace, but she was also given the choice to accept becoming the mother of Jesus. And that choice was an important part of God's plan to save all humankind, but she needed the grace that came from that plan in order to say yes to participating in that plan. In a mysterious cooperation of God's grace and human free will, God gave Mary the grace to be able to accept her place in his plan to give her and everyone else the grace of being saved. In a similar way, every human being needs the grace of God in order to say yes to God's plan. This is why St. Paul talks about grace upon grace. And we focus on Mary so much as Catholics because she is the perfect model of a disciple of Jesus. Both she and her son are without sin, but her son is also divine. So Mary is the perfect, completely human example of what it means to cooperate with God's grace. She has a role in God's plan of salvation, but she needs God's grace to be part of it. In the same way, every human being has a role in God's plan, but we need his grace to cooperate. Which is why Catholics emphasize faith and works for our salvation. Not because we earn our salvation, but because our works, doing the things of God, are themselves products of God's grace. Way of God crowning his own gifts with more gifts. It is God's way of allowing us to fully participate in our own redemption. This is a profound mystery, confusing, beautiful, perhaps a little overwhelming, but it is in fact a gift. And perhaps an analogy might help. It's kind of like in Christmas time when a son or daughter comes to you and asks for you to give them some money so that they can then buy you a gift. It is your money, but they need it in order to give you the gift, and you still want them to give the gift, and they freely choose to do it, but they're entirely dependent on you providing for them. In a similar way, God grants the grace to Mary and to us to participate in that process of giving ourselves back to God and being saved. And so we look to Mary, full of grace, who was given to us at the foot of the cross. She was given to us as a mother, a model, an intercessor. We want to learn from her humble embrace of God's plan. Learn from the providential way that God provided grace to her before she even understood her role in salvation. In the same way, God has plans for us and grace for us even before we know what he's doing. So take courage. Open your heart to accept this and every other mystery that the faith places before us. Implore God's grace to live it out, that we may join Mary and all of the saints in heaven for the praise of God's glory forever and ever. Amen.